Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to our show. Hope you're having a great Friday. It is us, your sports bros. Rob, me, Suk, right over there.
Suh, indeed.
Suh, dude.
Coming up in the club tonight, we will talk about flying. Are you ready to fly yet?
Yeah, you're going to Vegas, right? Is that
That's in July.
Well, it's around the corner.
Yeah, it's close.
We're starting to look. We've got vacation time, and we're only allowed to take it end of the year and then during the summer. And I didn't get to go on my any vacation time yet. So me and the family are kind of kicking around because we kind of have to use some, but I can't take the entire month of December off. So we got to do something here over the next month or two. And we're kind of trying to figure out where it's okay to go. Like what's open, like what's a good place to go right now. So if anyone's got any ideas or places that you're going, you've heard are open, let me know.
Also, how about free pizza for 9 years? Sounds good, right?
That does seem like a lot. Nine years of free pizza?
Yeah.
Unlimited.
And you never, how about this one caveat? Okay. I'll tease this story by saying this. The one caveat to this is that you never know when it's going to show up.
Ooh.
Are you down with that?
Well.
Yes.
I am, but at the same time, I'd be afraid.
I also don't want it to be DiGiorno, though.
Yeah, it's not delivery, Mike.
It's not DiGiorno.
Good.
I would be afraid if I had unlimited pizza that I would misuse pizza. You know?
What do you mean?
Well, you can't have pizza that often.
You'd have, like, pizza art hanging in your house?
Well, no. It's just, like, I don't want to be 900 pounds. And I feel like if you had unlimited pizza, it'd be far too easy to go to call in the... Like, if I could just pick up the phone and be like, pizza, and then bam, it's there.
Right.
And never have to pay for it. How many times would I be sitting around, like, 11 o'clock at night being like, I could use a little snack right now. I don't have anything in that. Hey, pizza. And next thing you know, you're overdoing pizza.
Yeah, I have an interesting story about this. And this, the man who is you in this scenario,
yeah,
is horrified and terrified, and he hates it.
Okay. All right. I say we explore the studio space on this.
So that'd be in the club, that hour, 6 to 7. Coming up this hour, I don't know. We'll probably talk about LeBron against Laura Ingram again.
Yeah, I saw this. The old shut up and dribble.
Yeah, but Drew Brees doesn't have to shut up and dribble.
No, I saw her response to it. She makes a whole lot of sense.
Bless you.
Excuse me.
May God bless you and keep you.
I'm allergic to her.
You should be.
Yeah.
And some other cool, awesome sports stuff. Maybe even some Friday randoms if we have time. But right now, Jace, let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by frost-brewed Coors Light.
I'm intrigued by your talk. You got swamp ass and nut fog watching up there swing his little bat.
I've got wood.
Number five.
PGA Tour is back in a few weeks. Its first five tournaments on their revised schedule will be played without fans, but the sixth event is scheduled for mid-July, and that's the Memorial at Mirfield Village. It has now been approved by the state of Ohio to allow fans, which could mean each event after that, including the PGA Championship, U.S. Open, Ryder Cup, and Masters, will have spectators. Now, it's all going to depend on where those individual events are played.
Yeah.
The PGA Championship is scheduled for San Francisco. U.S. Open is in New York. Ryder Cup is in Wisconsin this year. And the Masters, of course, is in Georgia.
Well, Georgia will have fans because Georgia doesn't care. You got to go to the places that don't care. New York, San Francisco might be a little tough. And is it going to be like you're going to have those little arrows on the ground? Like you have to stand here, you have to stand there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you see someone did that in IKEA? They set up fake arrows? They set up fake arrows and they led nowhere. They did like, hey, this is where to check out and this is how far you have to stand apart. But he just did a labyrinth that led to nowhere.
Well, isn't that true of their arrows anyway?
Which I think that was kind of his ha-ha point. When he put up social distance markers to for you to stand, but it didn't lead anywhere. I think he got in some trouble for it, but
I'd say
that guy's great.
I was at Langdon the other day.
Yeah.
And everybody has the tape on the floors and stuff.
Yeah.
They tape their carpet up and it is so ingrained in the carpet. Like the carpet's gonna come up with the tape. They're gonna have to get new carpets.
Yeah. Or just leave the markers there.
I think they might. They might just leave it.
Paint over the top. Just write a sign saying ignore these.
All right. Outfielder Marcell Ozuna is now with the Braves. He suffered a facial laceration after his wife hit him with a soap dish. She was arrested and charged with domestic battery.
So, who's got a soap dish?
Right? That's what I thought.
You know, I'm assuming that you still have the bar of soap. What happened to everyone's got hand dispensers now?
Right. Isn't it a big sports talk topic to be either a soap guy, like bar of soap guy,
Is anyone
body
still
wash guy?
A bar of soap guy?
Yeah, it's a big thing with
is it really?
All my dad, the old... My dad still uses just a bar of soap.
Yeah, I think it is kind of an old guy thing, but the bar of soap is still a thing for some people.
Wow.
And you're either one or the other. And I, of course, am a body wash guy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I have a bar anywhere in the house.
Yeah.
No, I have seen some of like they do like
my wife buys delicious and wonderfully smelling soaps.
Yeah, they're great.
They're so nice.
They're all kinds. You got foaming options.
Yes.
And you know, we've moved on, although sometimes like a big brick of like handmade soap is kind of cool. But you buy that when you're at like a county fair or like a farmer's market or something.
One other note, former big leaguer Carl Crawford has been arrested for beating up an ex-girlfriend. Authorities say he pushed her to the floor, slammed her head against the wall, and choked her over a new man she was dating. So there's your hot domestic battery news from baseball.
Hey, one each side of the coin, right?
Yep.
Fair and balanced.
Blazers forward Zach Collins says he expects to be medically cleared when the team returns to practice. He's yet to be given the green light, but he believes he's on the same page with the team regarding being able to participate with no issues. The Nuggets say Nikola Jokic is in great shape. Jamal Murray says he's got a little four-pack, and it's weird to see him so athletic.
No one buys that. Really?
That's what they said.
Because we all had him as the odds-on favorite of who's going to be on the Sean Kemp plan when they come back.
Yeah, but it sounds like or they're just overcompensating for his fatness.
Well, he's got a month to get this, to get this right. But how about that? An in-shape Jokic.
Also, the Nets will not have Kevin Durant for the playoffs. Reports suggest that he'll try to target next season's return date, which is actually this year.
Yeah.
Currently, they're setting that for December 1. Now, this is commitment. Michael Jordan and Jordan Brand announced they will donate $100 million over the next 10 years. It will be spread out over several organizations dedicated to ensuring racial equality, social justice, and greater access to education.
Well, people have said put your money where your mouth is, and they want people to make a difference. And I would say $100 million is a pretty big commitment, especially for a guy that hasn't – he's taken some flack in the past for not being political enough and not supporting not supporting African-American causes. And so it's,
well, it's not all him. It's Jordan Brand.
I know, but still, I mean, it's $100 million.
That's a lot of dough.
Good chunk of change.
You think Dak Prescott's pissed off? Dude, Dak Prescott donated $1 million, which is significant. Everybody's like, oh, my God, now that's what you're talking about. And then Jordan rolls around with $100 million?
Well, to be fair, Dallas hasn't paid Dak yet. Dak's still living off that Campbell soup money.
He needs some
of that Jerry Jones money.
Also, the NFL came out and apologized today. Roger Goodell, in a 1 minute and 21 second statement from his home, said that we, the NFL, admit we were wrong in not listening to players earlier. He did not mention Colin Kaepernick by name.
No, he said he was wrong, and we know where he's going, but I think a lot of people would have preferred that. But maybe, you know, there's lawsuit, although that got settled, so maybe, you know, maybe he just was trying to steer clear of that and make it a larger issue. But it's a step in the right direction for the NFL, and I it's embarrassing that it took this long for the NFL. But at the same time, you have to give them credit. This was a response to the NFL players putting out their own video, which was such a powerful statement. The NFL, I understand that maybe they were forced into doing this, but this whole thing about changing people's minds and educating people and getting people to do the right thing, we have to be open to the idea that people and organizations can change and evolve, and whether they're forced to or whether it's of their own free will, or there's pressure to do it, we have to be able to have room for people to change and make better decisions. And so I, for one, begrudgingly give the NFL some props for reading the room and doing the right thing here. And hopefully they continue to do it. And this isn't just some thing that you put out on social media and then it goes away in a week.
Okay. We've got two other sports stories here, involving college sports. One is Utah's defensive coordinator is in hot water, which we'll get to next. And an NCAA tournament ban for one school, and it could not be worse timing. And we will tell you why when we return. There's your Hot 5 at 5. The best way to chill this summer is with Coors Light's new limited edition summer cans. Pick them up anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. 513 on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Bloop, bloop. Yes, indeed. Bloop, bloop. All right, so a couple of other college sports notes here for you bros and broettes. Sports talk.
Bro.
Utah defensive coordinator Morgan Scalley.
Yeah, I don't know him. A lot of that Utah staff and the BYU staff, he's guys that I either played with or coaches that I've been around.
He's brand spanking new, and he was actually one of the two considered with Avalos for the Ducks job, I believe, when they were replacing or when they were hiring the new defensive coordinator.
He was the
other one outside of Avalos that they interviewed, I believe.
Okay, well, I feel like at Utah, you never know who the defensive coordinator is because you kind of feel like it's Kyle Whittingham. But this guy, and he looks pretty young, Morgan. I don't know how old he is. But they caught him in a text message 6 years ago, 7 years ago now, 2013, he used the N-word.
Yeah.
In a text. I'm not sure how it's out there.
It is amazing that, like...
But it is.
I know, it's the same thing with the Oregon State tight end, right? That was 3 years ago.
Right.
Look, and I'm not saying that any of this is okay. It's just, it's interesting that, like...
Somebody threw it out there.
Someone threw it out there. Like, it's
like,
it's
totally...
It's weird. It's like, if you had an axe to grind with this guy and you had this...
7 years?
You waited 7 years for it. It's just, it's strange. Or did someone stumble across it now? Or are people looking through old stuff? It's just, it's kind of odd.
Or maybe someone found it and then exposed it. I don't know. It is weird how this stuff gets out there, but Utah has suspended him indefinitely. They say that they are going to have an outside firm review the matter.
Yeah, to see exactly, because I haven't seen the context of what this.
It doesn't.
This was.
It's not out there.
Yeah.
Or at least I haven't seen it. It's not in any of the stories that I've read. But he's admitted it. I mean, he came out and said, "I'm truly sorry. I did make a terrible mistake. I used a racial slur in a text message. This language is offensive and hurtful to not only the African American community, but to all." Immediately after sending it, I apologized to the recipient and his family. I am also heartbroken over the potential breach of trust with my fellow coaches and with the young men in our program, both past and present.
Yeah.
So, any whoosies.
So there's no timeline for the investigation or, you know.
Do they really need to investigate? I mean, Jonathan Smith just turfed the kid. Now, see, this goes back to yesterday's thing where you got some freshman tight end. I don't know how good he is, but no one had ever heard of him. It's easy for Jonathan Smith to just immediately... kick him off the team. When it's your defensive coordinator, it's a little different story. It's like, well, let's investigate. Well, what's to review?
Well, again, is there, and I'm asking here, are we in a total zero tolerance policy now where if that word was used in any context, Are you gone? Because the Clemson tight end coach and special teams guy, he said this to a player, and Dabo swept it under the rug. You know, and Dabo was like, well, we reviewed it internally, and we're moving on. And, you know, they're saying that the context of that was two African-American players were calling each other that name, and he chimed in and was pissed about it, and he used that word. Does context matter? In this text message, does it matter? And again, I'm just asking the question. Does it matter if he said that off the cuff and threw it out there versus him saying, you know, hey, you know, number 43 or whatever, that dumb, you know, N-word. Does the context in which you use it matter? The frequency of how it's used or how many times it's used?
I would like to say, or I would like to think that it doesn't. I think generally speaking, all context matters. But in this instance, with this word, it's cut and dry, man.
Yeah.
And it's just what percentage of the Utah football team is black?
Quite a few.
So,
but again, I bring up the question that the Clemson coach said that at practice.
Well, I think he should be. I mean, honestly, I think that he should be gone too.
Yeah.
So, but apparently that came from, that was never addressed until a player brought it up years later because of this.
Exactly.
Right. So it's awful to me that it's not a bigger deal when that word is uttered, whether it be. Let's just stick to the coach.
Sure.
Between players, particularly African-American players, I think there's a difference. But when you've got an older white coach with young black players and he's using that word, I just don't see any scenario where that's okay.
And I agree with you, but I don't think that this is going to be a zero tolerance policy across the board. And if there is, it's because of the culture shift that we're having right now.
Well, isn't that a good thing?
That is a good thing. I just say if this were to come out, or if this had come out 3 years ago, right? 4 years old, he apologizes and nothing is made of this. Now it may cost him his job. And yes, I do think the only way you are going to make a significant change in people's minds is to have consequences, mm-hmm. right? And that's what they're saying about police officers. It's what they're saying about, what athletes or coaches or bosses or whatever. Same thing with the Me Too movement, right? The only way you're going to get attitudes changing the way men treat women is to have consequences for when it happens. So maybe we've reached that point and we are going to see a zero tolerance policy, which is a good thing. I guess I'm still ingrained in the old ways of, you know, when you're good at football or you're good at basketball, or you're good at your job, you get lots and lots and lots of chances. And we've already seen it with Clemson where they swept that under the rug. It'll be interesting to see what happens here and whether or not this costs him his job. But the more that this happens and schools take a zero tolerance approach, I think you're going to finally get some people to wake up and realize that there's some real teeth behind saying this, and you better not.
All right, the other bit of college news is from Oklahoma State, and that is where the basketball program there has been given a one-year NCAA tournament ban.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like a big deal.
Well, it
really sort of isn't because they're not that good. I think I just looked it up. They won, they won 18 or 19 games last year.
Did they go to the tourney?
No, they haven't been to the tournament in 4 or 5 years, but they're building, they're kind of building the younger coach and building up. But here's why that is terrible timing, and I mean terrible. Oklahoma State happens to have the number one draft pick in the NBA, at least projected, and the number one recruit in the country coming in this year.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a one and done, and he's going to go to the NBA, and they think he's going to be the number one draft pick. They have him coming in this year, and they've just been popped, no chance to appeal or anything. They are not going to be in the tournament next year.
And so now people are openly questioning, does he ask out of his...
and he's already there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the answer is, well, there are a couple things here. First of all, you may be asking, why is Oklahoma State getting a one-year postseason tournament ban? This has to do with the FBI probe where the former assistant coach, his name was Lamont Evans. He did jail time. He did 3 months in jail, and he now gets a 10-year show cause. Because he took bribes to steer kids from South Carolina, where he coached, and Oklahoma State as an assistant, and he was steering them to certain agents and financial advisors. So he got put in jail. The NCAA has just now come down on Oklahoma State. They get a one-year postseason tournament ban. They'll be ineligible for 2021, and they get 3 years probation and three scholarship reductions for three seasons. But this kid's name that's coming in is Cade Cunningham. And in an ironic twist that you always love these, the reason he chose Oklahoma State over Kentucky and North Carolina and the big boys, they hired his brother as an assistant coach.
Ah, yes. And I'm sure that brother's salary didn't find his way into the hands of this young man. So if you're asking why he would stay at Oklahoma State.
That would be why.
That.
But he's not. No, he's not staying.
I don't know. Something tells me his brother may be in line for a nice fat bonus to his salary. Look, they paid to get the kid there. And so maybe if he's just a one and done, he doesn't care about playing in the NCAA tournament. He takes his money, plays his year at Oklahoma State, and moves on to the NBA.
Yeah.
Look, if he stays, you know good and damn well that they upped the cash value. They're like, hey, I know we paid you a lot to come here. What's it going to take for you to stay?
So the school says that they will talk about his options with him.
Okay. So
that's nice. They're going to sit down with him and be like, hey.
That's a bag of cash.
Here's
right?
why the G League sucks. Here's why overseas sucks. You should be scared of that. Here's why we're great. And oh, by the way, here's $10,000. Stay, please.
$10,000?
$20,000.
You're going to have to up that. The G League's offering a pretty good chunk of change.
$150,000.
There you go.
Stay, please.
Now we're going to get into that.
Now,
oh, and by the way, we'll give your brother like an extra 4 years on his contract guaranteed.
He could also transfer.
Yeah.
As you mentioned. So we'll see.
Well, something tells me that if he asked for his out because of this, they would have to release it. Otherwise, you'd face huge backlash.
Right. They basically said, this sucks, but we'll work with him to get him
if he wants
where
out,
he wants
if he
to
wants
go.
Out, he'll get out.
Yeah. Cade Cunningham. I've never heard of him. I guess he's a point guard.
I remember that the top handful of kids, the top three or four, all went to non-blue bloods, right? Arizona State
got one.
Oklahoma State got one.
I wonder how.
It was weird. They didn't like the top handful of players didn't end up going to the Kentuckys, and it was odd school. So I don't remember this kid exactly by name, but I do remember that being discussed that it just so happened this year that a lot of the also-rans got the big names.
Yeah, and they were saying, you know, Cunningham, like you said, did have that G League program offer. So, you know, he's good enough to get $125,000 or something from that thing?
Yeah.
What is the number?
Well, it depends. It's a sliding scale. Not everyone gets paid the same.
I know, but he's
I think the top guys, I want to say it was a couple hundred G's.
Was it 200?
Yeah, let me look it up.
Damn, dude.
Gee, because they're putting together their whole developmental team.
Although if you're going to be the number one pick in the draft, or at least you think you're going to be a top five pick.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference? It's a year. Well, I mean, I know 200 grand is a lot of money, but
it's not even a year.
Right.
The top players in the G League now is $500,000.
Whoa.
The G League developmental plan, it's 500, but not everyone will get 500 depending on where you're ranked and whatever. But
well, this kid would.
He would be a 500,000 kid.
So can you leave 500 G's on the table when you're about to make millions?
Yeah.
And then just go to college and party and.
Well.
Again, get to the tournament.
You got your brother a job. And,
go to Kansas.
You know, maybe you wanted to, you know, maybe you wanted a little bit of that college experience. And remember, the G League isn't all Razzleberry, Froger, and scones. You know, it's crappy cities and bus rides, which is, remember that G League program they're doing. It's an abbreviated season. They won't play a full G League. They'll play against some, like, international teams. They're doing limited travel. I mean, they're doing everything they can to try to make the G League I don't know, just a better option for kids like this.
All right. We, coming up next, we'll talk about LeBron versus Laura Ingraham, part two. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Laura Ingraham is on Fox News. You may watch her show.
Please don't.
Some people do.
I find her to be deplorable, but again, just me.
Okay. I don't know much about her.
Well, when I drive home a lot, I told you, I do try to flip around. And there's the three news channels that are all right by each other. They do the MSNBC, CNN, and Fox. Mm-hmm. And she is on, her time slot is when I'm driving home. And so I do. I think it's important to not just see one side of it. News is so unbelievably slanted, obviously. And so I do. I listen to all three. And I find you know, I'm not a big Fox News guy. I do think some people on that channel are obviously better than others, just like I think some people on CNN are better than others. I find her specifically and Sean Hannity to be horrid, horrid human beings. I really do. And I think this is just another example of it. I think she is one of the worst when it comes to whatever you want to call it, whether it's race baiting or, you know, just the slanted cover. It's not news. It just isn't. It is the opinion to promote one thing.
She was Laura Ingraham. The name Laura Ingraham. Mm-hmm. This is how little I know about her.
Of Laura Ingalls, you think of Little House on the Prairie?
No, I always thought she was like a self-help. That was like a self-help radio show. Remember, like people call and
maybe Susie Orman.
No, she's like financial,
she's
right?
Financial.
Yeah, I don't know. Laura Ingraham, I always thought was like just some show you call and it's like, oh, my husband and I are having problems. Laura, help me. Well, here's what you do. So anyway, I don't watch her, don't consume her, know of her. That's about it. I guess she has, she's adopted three children.
Who, Laura Ingraham?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's an attorney and
one of them's from Guatemala.
Yeah.
One of them's from Russia. And then another boy that she adopted in 2011.
And I think that's the part that disappoints me the most is she's a smart person.
Seems it.
It just,
or maybe she doesn't.
I just, like I said, just
is
not,
she really smart?
At times she is very well, she's well spoken and can make coherent points. And every now and then you'll be listening to something and you're like, oh my God, you're going to nope. And then you know, hard right hand turn.
Here's what she said about, I just got to replay this. This is only about a minute, but, remember when she told LeBron James and Kevin Durant to shut up and dribble?
Yeah. They said that Trump didn't care about people.
I wanted to replay that audio for you.
Yeah. It's always unwise to seek political advice from someone who gets paid $100 million a year to bounce a ball. Oh, and LeBron and Kevin, you're great players, but no one voted for you. Millions elected Trump to be their coach. So keep the political commentary to yourself, or as someone once said, shut up and dribble.
Well, he's allowed to have his view about
okay, so this
what
is now, this
kneeling
is about Drew
and the
Brees.
Flag means to him. I mean, he's a person. He has some worth, I would imagine. I mean, this is beyond football, though. This is totalitarian conduct. This mm-hmm. is Stalinist. And by the way, on the streets of New Orleans, we're looking at live pictures. They're yep. shouting, F Drew Brees.
Wow.
That's what this moment has done to the beautiful team spirit of the New Orleans
this
Saints.
This is a great, he's a great Christian man.
So, Jesus. So there's the hypocrisy of yeah. Laura Ingraham. And yes, I'm thinking of Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Yeah, there you go.
Which I don't know much about her either. I just know they're both named Laura. That's all I know.
Dr. Laura.
Is Dr. Laura Schlesinger still on?
She took some heat because she was using the N-word.
What?
Yeah, yeah. She's wow. She stirs up the pot too.
Okay.
So I don't know if she's still on.
I just Google imaged her. I've never seen her in my life. There, no? There she is.
Yeah, Dr. Laura was it was relationship okay. advice, and yeah, mm-hmm. she would stir the pot up huh? a little bit, and yeah, she okay. had some comments. So
do you think they know each other?
No, I don't. Well, I don't know.
I bet they do.
They're both kind of. They're both big media types just simply because their name is Laura.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying is it's just, you can't go on and tell one person to shut right. up and dribble and the other one to turn around and be like, well, you know, yeah, he's got a right to his opinion and it's more than football. And this is the thing about opinions. You can't just agree. You can't love the fact that when someone speaks out because it's something you agree with versus someone that speaks out and it's not something you agree with. It's like the whole Kaepernick thing, right? Whether you think Colin Kaepernick was right for kneeling, and I do think a lot of people now are coming around to the idea that, hey, maybe that guy was onto something. So we all want speech. We all want free speech. We all want someone to stand up for what they believe in, but only when we agree with it. You got to be able to accept yeah. the other side of it.
This is a small example of what a lot of this is about, you know?
Yeah.
She probably didn't even realize she did that. Basically, to sum it up, it's LeBron and Durant, the black guys, shut up and dribble.
Yeah.
Drew Brees, the white guy, well, he hasn't a right to his, he's a good Christian man. He has a right to his opinion.
Yeah. Well, and I
so
heard.
So LeBron heard, called her out on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad he did. So he called her out and posted a video on his social media exposing her hypocrisy. And I seriously wonder if she even.
She addressed it.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
I just wondered if she even knew what she'd like.
She addressed
if
it.
She knew that she had done that before. Yeah. LeBron said, hey, look at your hypocrisy here.
No, probably not. I guess that she, you know, you spew so much and this was, you know.
Although she was pretty well known for the shut up and dribble comment.
That's,
I mean,
true.
She probably knows she made that.
But I don't know if she put the, well, she knows, two and two together.
I don't know if she did. And I think this is the whole point.
Yeah.
Is there, like, what leg does she have to stand on about that? Well, how are you going to get out of that one?
It's obvious. Her comment yesterday on it was something to the effect of, Drew Brees was talking about standing for the flag and making real change and all the good he had done in his community. And she pointed out that LeBron James had simply said that Trump doesn't effing care. So basically she went down the road of Drew Brees was supporting something that Trump believes in and that LeBron James was taking shots at him. And that, unfortunately, to me, is what this comes down to a lot, is we've drawn this weird line in the sand where either you're for the president or you're against the president. And that goes down these hard battle lines of all these issues. And it's, to me, it's sad that that's what it's come to, is that something that should be so much larger than just who the president of the United States is, but that's what it's become. If you're for Trump, you're against the protests, and it doesn't matter what the cops do, you love all that. And if you're for the protests, then you hate Trump, you're a radical left, you hate all cops. It's like we've lost any semblance of being able to be rational human beings and have independent thought. And that's why you end up with shut up and dribble. And well, you know, he's entitled to his opinion because you like his opinion.
Yep. All right. That's enough about that.
Someone saying, can we save some time to just tell us about which people haven't used a racial slur? Maybe that's what it is. Just come a list of people. Hey, these people have never said anything. And that's important to remember, by the way, is it may seem like all these things are coming out, but it's still I still hold out hope that the vast majority of people in this country, and that's what you're seeing with the protests, are on the right side of history and don't use this, and don't let the handful of things that come out seemingly every day or kind of trickle out, don't let those beat you up from what this is really all about, which is positive change. And I truly believe the vast majority of us are on the right side.
All right, we've got some randoms for our next segment. Big, fat, juicy random segment next.
I like my Friday randoms.
Have you heard what the Simi Valley mayor is proposing to do?
No.
To slow down he wants to stop the protests. He doesn't like the protests.
Okay.
So he has an idea.
Ooh.
And I will tell you about it.
I bet you it's a great idea, too.
What tells you that?
I just...
What gave it away?
The tone of your voice, I bet you he has just dialed in.
Also, confirmed COVID cases are rising faster than ever. That was a headline today.
Yeah.
Of course, that's meant to scare you.
Sure.
But that's likely due to more testing, because we have more testing capability. So, of course, confirmed cases are rising. Aren't case counts meaningless unless we know how much we're testing? Which we also don't. So, what do we make of COVID case counts? I don't understand. But Nate Silver's going to try to explain it to us.
Okay.
And we'll do those next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Fan text line 503-250-1080. Do you guys ever wonder if guys like Sean Hannity even believe the BS that they spew? Or they're just the equivalent of Skip Bayless hype guys in the political realm that play to the crowd and collect a giant check to do so.
See, and I think that sometimes is the part that I have a hard time with. Not that I consume a ton of that, but like I said, having tried to get a broad view on what's being said, I don't think she does when we're talking about Laura Ingraham.
Like she does said, what?
I think she is a fairly smart individual, and I think she knows what she's doing. And I think it's an act. I do think others, I think the Tucker Carlson's and the Sean Hannity's, that's why it almost bothers me more about her, because it's one thing if you just believe that, and I think you're just rotten to the core. I think it's a whole other thing if you're putting on an act because you get a paycheck for it.
I always think that I kind of feel like it has to come from somewhere. Like I can't, in other words, if you put, let's put you on at Fox News as a pundit, you would be terrible at it.
I would. I'd
and the
fired.
Reason you'd be terrible at it and you get fired is because you, and I'm the same way, like I wouldn't know how to say the right things to placate to that crowd, right? Because I don't think that way.
Yeah.
So in other words, for you to be successful on there, either they just feed you are a total puppet and they feed you every talking point ever, which I don't think is true. You have it has to come from inside. You have to think it order to say it.
It's possible, but I think Skip Bayless knows that what he spews half the time is horse crap, but he does it again. He's a guy that stirs the pot.
That's true, but
a lot of people are like that.
I understand, but I think in order for you to be good at really framing those types of conversations, you have to think it.
Yeah,
you do. You can't just make that up. Like, I would have no idea how to go on Fox News and present another side of what I think, right? Like, I just think what I don't know. It's a stupid thing to say, but I just think what I think, right?
Yeah.
And I try to grow and try to be better, but I think in order to be a pundit like that, and they do make big checks, and that whole network is, you know, has an agenda just like some of the other networks, right?
Yeah. I mean, I like I said,
I think you got to have people who think that way in order to present that well and be that popular.
Well, and I think that's the part sometimes that scares me is with how many people go along hook, line, and sinker with that. And it struggles because I'm somewhere in the middle. You know, we get accused of being like these diehard liberals, and it couldn't be further from the truth. But like I said, it's hard to have independent thought nowadays. It is, you are one or the other. You know, to me, I know you're doing something right when you get criticized by both sides. When you get criticized for being a warmonger, you know, pro-police, right wing, you know, son of a gun, and then, you know, a week later you can get accused for being a left wing, you know, radical, you know, this and that, and you hate the country and you hate every cop. It's just we've lost the ability to have any sort of independent thought.
A Simi Valley city official, this is California, LA.
Yeah.
Cucamonga. Simi Valley city official is facing calls for his resignation after a social media post in which he referred to the use of hoses on protesters as a solution to end the rioting and unrest across much of Southern California.
Is he not familiar with the 1960s? Did he just...
Oh, he added... Did he add a layer.
I'm sure he is familiar, actually.
He added a layer.
Okay. Are we going to go down that way? The German Shepherds, too? Because those photos and videos are just so timely.
His name is Mike Judge, and he's the mayor. He posted the meme on his Facebook page, which read, "Want to stop the riots? Mobilize the septic tank trucks, put a pressure cannon on them, and hose them down. The end."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Told you.
See, and this kind of
goes. He is a 30-year veteran with the LAPD. He said it was a joke meant to poke fun at the face mask debate.
Oh, yes. The what? Poking fun. Is this like
the face mask?
This is the Rocco, right? This is the same sort of thing. I was just fooling. I was just tomfooling around, just goofing.
How is that related to the face mask debate? May I ask that question?
I'm not quite sure about that, but that's what he said.
Just hose him down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just.
With septic tanks.
Bravo. Oh, yeah, that was a nice...
Yeah, not just water.
It was a nice touch.
Poop water.
Yeah, spray human feces on the people.
So are coronavirus case counts meaningless?
I honestly don't know what to make of the corona thing anymore.
What?
Just...
Nothing.
What are you laughing at?
I just
at?
Felt like it was like, and turn left, because I felt like Suke was going to say something.
Oh, no, he can... No, it's talk show. Say it. No, what are you going
to
say?
I don't remember what I was going
to... It's fine. It was just funny to me. Sorry.
What's happening?
What's happening? Who's winning? What is occurring?
It's a Friday, isn't it?
It is a Friday.
Who's winning? What is occurring?
Nate Silver has been prominent in the COVID numbers, COVID data scene.
Okay.
Did you know Nate Silver's with 538.com?
538. I thought he was with 539.com.
538. No, 538.
538.
No, it can't be
539,
that.
539. Whatever it takes.
Well, he's big on it. You know, he's a data guy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people now are saying, well, wait a minute. So the COVID numbers have no context if we don't know how many people were testing. Like, we talked about this yesterday. In Oregon, the positive test rate
is really low.
Is 3%.
And
in other words, 3% of all of the tests that they have given in Oregon, which is like 135,000 tests, only 3% have been positive.
And it would lead you to believe that the people that are getting tested, because there isn't mass testing, are the ones that would either, you would think, have a high chance of it or a high risk group or people that have been exposed to it. So in that way, you would kind of think that if you did broader testing, that that number would be even lower, that 3% is actually going to be quite high. As opposed to the real number if we got everyone tested.
So the national number is about 5%.
Okay.
Positive test rate. That's, of all the tests given nationally, only 5% have come back positive.
Sure.
But what do COVID case counts mean? Because that's the big number. They're always saying, okay, this many more today.
Yeah, because there's an uptick. I guess Texas.
Yes,
Texas
exactly.
Had their biggest day.
They keep going up.
They keep going up. It was their biggest day since it had been like a month and a half.
So they're going up nationally.
Yeah.
But of course they're going up because we're getting more tests. So it's, these headlines are absolutely misleading when they say they've never risen faster. Well, yeah, because we're testing more. So Nate Silver's point is none of these data points are really mean much of anything. They're all incomplete unless we know what is happening on the testing front.
Yeah.
Which we don't, because they don't tell us. So it's this, like, what are we supposed to think about any sort of COVID case count number if we don't know testing numbers?
Yeah.
What are we supposed to think?
I don't know. To me, honestly, It's seeming more and more that this, while it was serious and while it was scary and everything we did, totally understand why we do it. And obviously what happened in New York, what happened in Italy, I'm starting to wonder if when this is all said and done, when we look back on it, if we don't kind of scratch our heads and say, yeah, wasn't as bad as we originally thought. And maybe we overreacted to it just a scooch. I really do. But you know, maybe in 2 months from now, if the numbers are through the roof and our hospitals are crashed again and we've got another, you know, 300,000 people that are dead, then, you know, that's wrong.
So New York and Italy scared the crap out of us.
Absolutely.
And it should have.
And by the way, we still have 100-something thousand people that are dead. So for everyone that's saying, well, this is ridiculous and we should have never done this, you still have 100,000 people dead. This was really serious. And there were a group of people that got really sick and in no way should it be minimized. But I'm spitballing and I'm just wondering, to your point, when this is all said and done and the final numbers come out and we're a couple years removed from this and we look back, was this really necessary to shut the entire country down for multiple months? I don't think anyone knows that for certain.
Yeah, I don't think you ever will.
Maybe not.
Because it's like, it's a rather be safe than sorry type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, did they get the balance right? Maybe not. But isn't that better than having a major surge in cases and deaths?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it sucked, and there were some casualties in terms of economics for businesses, and that sucks. But at the same time, how many lives were saved by doing what we did?
But that's the thing is, if no one can—
And we'll never know.
If no one can quantify that, if you
exactly.
look at what happened in Japan, if you look what happened in Sweden, who had a different approach to it, there are going to be a lot of people that said that what we did, the harm outweighed the good.
Yeah, like this guy says on the flip side, who's to say the only reason it doesn't look as bad is because of the measures that we took.
Exactly.
Exactly, and you can't, there's no way to know. I think it's just better to be in this position than the other.
And a lot of people said that we might see people say, oh, it wasn't worth it because it worked, right? They go, oh, there wasn't that many deaths, so it wasn't worth it to close, but that's like the whole point of why we shut things down so that we could avoid some deaths. I mean, some of the epidemiologists were predicting that, saying that people would have those reactions.
You're going to say, see, it's not a big deal. Well, you're saying that because of what we did.
Yeah. Well, and we'll see, right? So far we've had, you know, in our world, right, the sports world coming back, we've seen, five Alabama football players that have tested positive for this. We've got a couple of Oklahoma State players. Texas is saying that they're going to allow up to 50% of their fans back in the stadiums. Ohio has said that they're planning on having fans back. The NFL has said, hey, we're planning on doing this. So, look, ultimately, we're going to find out a couple months from now exactly where we're at in this. And then you're seeing some reports saying that has the virus weakened? Remember, there was the report out of Italy where there was one of their top doctors that says that he can't explain it, but the virus just doesn't seem to be having the same effect on people. You know, we're going to find out here, because I get to the, I'm going to assume that as this goes on and we open up more, we're going to see more positive tests, right? We're going to, as testing increases, you're going to see it. What do those numbers mean? What do those people care about? And do the hospitals get overwhelmed? I mean, because at this point, it just feels like we're full steam ahead when it comes to opening. And I don't think we're going backwards on this unless something absolutely horrific happens. And we won't know that for maybe a number of weeks, maybe even a couple of months.
All right, how about free pizza for 9 years? Seems good. But what if you never knew when it was going to show up? Is that bad?
I don't know if it's good. Somewhere in the middle of all this.
Well, this happened to a bloke, and he's not happy about it. Next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.